Welcome to the call.
Who's greeting tonight?
My group.
Everybody.
Nobody.
Everybody.
My committee.
Sorry, that went too good. I'm halfway doing something else. I wasn't sure exactly what he said.
Oh, I see. Heise is here. Heise, are you there?
Maybe he stepped away. No. BBS is live now.
Hi, BB. Hi, everybody on BBS. Where are you?
Welcome,
usual...
BBS, man.
Chris, be quiet. I'm going to mute you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. I do see Heise. He's been on the call for 3 minutes. Is Prudence on the call? Okay. Prudence would have been here, except her heater broke down today, and it was 12 degrees, so I don't know what she's doing, but she's doing something. Hang on a second. Is Terry here?
Yeah. Hello.
Hi.
Terry.
Hi.
Is that you coughing?
Yeah.
You cannot cough.
Okay.
Get your immune system together, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
It's really an immune issue. It could be dust.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think it's dust, but it's okay. I guess she's allowed to cough. All right. Would you like to say your name and your city?
This is Brenda from D.C.
Hi, Brenda.
Hi, how are you, Wynn?
It is nice to hear you again.
Oh, great. I'm just waiting to ask you a question about a book that you talked about the other day on the, I think it was Sunday Planet, Whole Planet Healing, and I forgot to write the book down, but I'll ask
you. Was it called Voyagers?
What's that?
Voyagers?
No, it's something about the soul, something soul. You talked about Edgar Cayce. Who was
I was reading Astrology for the Soul.
That's it, Astrology for the Soul. Yeah, a lot of times I don't get on the call, so I'll just listen to the Whole Planet Healing. That's what it was. Astrology for the Soul. Thank you, Wynn.
Okay. Would you like to say your name? Would you like to say your name and your city? No. That's okay.
This conference is being recorded. All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
This is February 12th, 2018. Wynn and Terry in Sedona, and Terry is my co-host sometimes. Hi, Terry. She has a kind of disease called unmute-itis.
Yeah, I just muted it. The phone is tiny, and so I got to get the right key and not send it off into oblivion.
are you using your headset?
Yeah.
It's much better to mute on that little white button on your headset, you know?
I haven't figured that out yet.
You haven't? After all this time?
Right.
All right. Well, Terry has some of the most wonderful qualities on the planet. But
technology is not one of them.
Working with technology is not one of them, okay? But, She I'm sure all of you know the incredible story that brought this around. And when I had a new girlfriend that spontaneously started channeling, telling me those guys want to talk to you again, and how she kind of abandoned the ship. And, you know, I'm not judging her for abandoning the ship, because she was really negatively attacked, and it was very hard for her. It was hard for me. We were together for 6 months, and then she left. This was in 2002. And in the course of history, there's been a couple of times when she's come back, and she said, I think it was really important. And if you can put yourself in my shoes, when this all started, I was like a little perplexed, a little bit awed. I'm saying, is this really happening? Are they really who they say they are? Et cetera, et cetera. And it was happening kind of in an isolated environment. I mean, it was just me and Daphne in a little apartment in Pomona, California. And she was like, you know, very hard. You know, I wasn't very grounded. And I did not initiate the relationship with her. It almost got dumped on my head after I met her. And we did have, you know, I learned, you know. I just took off the chimes. So I don't want to tell the whole story of how we met, but we met at an expo, and then 30 days later, she left her husband to run off with me. And really, the initial intent was we were going to play music together. And then we had that momentous drive from L.A. to Portland, Oregon, where it was raining. And you know, just as much as I say this, it's hard to imagine it happening and to be in the reality of it. But when I said, does anybody want to talk to me after prayer protection? And she said, we're here. Do you have questions? And, of course, I thought she was kidding. And then for the next 6 months, she would interrupt whatever I said. Tell me, not whatever, but, you know, oftentimes she would interrupt and say, they want to talk to you again. And I would pull out the tape recorder and ask questions. And then finally, after 6 months, she left me. And a few weeks later, Terry came over, and then Terry woke me up and said, get the tape recorder out. And Terry, I've never been aware of Terry channeling. I knew she was interested in channeling. I think she said in this group she went to, one time she channeled, but that's as far as it was, all I know. And then the same source says they're talking to me through Terry. So it was all like a fantasy. And Daphne left, and then in, I think in 2004, maybe 2004, 2005, somebody told Don Newsom my story. He said they should talk to him. And he's the guy that was starting BBS Radio. So I called Don, and I told him my story, and he immediately says, "Well, do you want a show? That's the most wild story I ever heard." And I said, "No, I don't want a show. What am I going to do? Keep telling my story?" Well, Don kept calling me. We started talking. We had these really deep conversations. And at one point, I said to Don, "Why don't we just record our conversations and put it on the air, and we'll call it the Don and Lynn Show?" And so we did that. And after a month or two, I invited Daphne, was now reaching back and interested in what we were doing, and I invited Daphne to be a guest on our show. And I don't usually go back and play Don and Lynn shows, but I thought you'd find it really interesting. And what happened was, Daphne came on, and she was just complaining how I ruined her life. And then in the middle of it, she suddenly says, "They want to say something. Is that okay?" And she did this amazing channeling. So I think, I'm not promising, but I think that is the audio I picked here. And it's an hour and 25 minutes long. So obviously it's too long for this hour to play the whole thing. But I might start it and then jump it forward and so we get the most important parts into it. So here we go. I hope. We're waiting. Play file failed. All right.
I'd like to welcome you to the Don and Wynn Show, another episode of the Don and Wynn Show. My name is Wynn Free, and aside from being a human being, I was the co-author of the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. I have girlfriends that talk to space people, and I'm a songwriter and a poet. And my co-host, Don Newsom.
You know, actually, I'm gonna save you some embarrassment here and give you the real meat of the last name. It's Newsom.
I know it's Newsom.
Yeah, but don't you notice something about the ending of that? It's
Om.
Om.
No.
Om. Newsom. It's from the French. We are of Eric the Red. Newsom du Eric.
I see.
Yeah, there you go.
Maybe it's like you are anchoring the energy of the new Om with a little S. No comment.
With a little what? I missed that.
You're part of the new paradigm, the new Om with a little S. Like you have new Om and S in between, right? Don,
yeah,
well, don't take this any further. Okay, leave it right there.
I love you, Wynn. I've missed you.
You have?
Well, you know, when I went on my trip to California, you and I usually talk about every day a couple hours, and we haven't had the luxury of being able to do that.
Mm-hmm. We've actually had a little squabble this week, okay?
We had one of those, too.
Yeah, I mean, you said, "Wynn, how come you aren't keeping your commitments? Where is the latest channeling from Girlfriend X?" And I said, "Don, how come you didn't send me Windows 2000, which I needed to fix my computer?" Right?
Yes, true. We both
delayed on our commitments. You're correct.
That's
in fact,
right.
You called me on it. Good for you. Good for you.
Now, I should also mention that for 3 weeks in a row, you sounded like hell on the show because you didn't have the right equipment. And every week for the last 6 weeks, you're 2 to 3 minutes late.
Well, this is true. And
you usually start with an apology. But since you started bitching at me, I am going to, like, call you on the carpet. Besides, I don't know what else to say. You told me we had a lot of listeners, so it immediately got me nervous. So, well, take the rest of the show, because we have too many listeners.
Oh, we've got a lot of wonderful listeners out there. And you know, folks, I want to thank you all so much for writing in to us and letting us know how you feel and letting us know your comments about what we're trying to build here and what we're trying to accomplish. And I sincerely and deeply do appreciate all those comments. It keeps us going. And you know, it's funny when somebody sends in an email saying, I love what you guys are doing. Thank you so much. You're changing my life. You know, many of us people who have various shows on the BBSradio.com, we talk about these emails between each other, and it increases our energy, it increases our vibration, and it just keeps the joy flowing, so thank you.
You see, Don doesn't really get paid, so all he gets is emails that say we love you, and that makes it feel like he's doing something worthwhile.
Yeah, that's better than getting paid, Wynn.
It is?
You bet it is.
Okay, now I'm going to move forward here a little bit. See where we end up. You can see why I never play these things. Okay. Hang on. It's saying.
Let's see, how do I say this? I went from living.
Okay, there's where we want it, okay? This is the right one. This is where I had Daphne as a guest.
To move in with me. Of course, I was living in my RV, parking my RV in front of Denny's, so we upgraded, went to Motel 6, and then we took a drive to Portland, and we were on the way to Portland, and we were... Northern California and Mount Shasta area, and it was pouring rain, and I did a prayer, and at the end of the prayer I said, so does anybody want to talk to me? And suddenly she answered, but it wasn't her, and I was having this 15 minute conversation, and I thought she was making it up. It was kind of far out. I said, she must. And then after the conversation she said, that was the strangest thing that ever happened to me. So we went on, and I thought it was some weird entity from Mount Shasta. So we go to Portland, and we're staying in a hotel. And 3 days later, I asked her, would you like to try this again? And she says, okay. And this time I take out a tape recorder. And this was our conversation. I'm just going to read it because it's kind of far out. Is anyone there? Does anyone want to identify themselves? Good evening. We bring forth knowledge of the higher intergalactic species of the Lone Star System Alcyon. This is to be our first recorded transmission to you, and we are pleased to announce our engagement of technological meshing with your channel so that we may bring forth to you information of a needed higher caliber for transmission and integration at this particular frequency and station, and knowing pertinent to the incoming questions. Have you questions this evening, Mr. Wynn? Wynn, can you describe how you perceive our channel's consciousness when we ask for your presence? This is a multi-level diagrammatic question, and our present channel is a very wideband receiver station, calibrated for exceptional galactic clairaudience and claircognition, which, when tuned to the proper channel below the current threshold of consciousness, shall make inroads into accessing very pertinent information at this time of transition. There is evidence of internal pre-structural damage in this entity, overlying from two focused thoughts, thought patterns of rigid value structures applied over an awakening matrix, which must be moved. The present entity is having a difficult time removing the residual calcification of thought forms. Your assistance is asked to help said entity and readjust according to contractual service. But since we have the entity on the line with us and it's 3 years later, would you like to make a comment on that? Because that's a pretty interesting opening line, isn't it?
Well, in terms of a three-dimensional human experience, it meant my life as I knew it completely imploded or exploded, and I went from, I went from living with a multimillionaire Silicon Valley husband on a mountain overlooking Villa Montalvo in Saratoga with a contemporary house of all glass, and having $5 million in the bank, to being penniless, having an emotional breakdown, wondering if I was crazy, then discovering that I had epilepsy, and having almost everybody I knew, including my family, ostracize me. And then having negative attacks and having fires start around us. And then trying to convince myself that Wynn wasn't evil.
Are you convinced?
I'm convinced.
Then I ask the question, and I was going on in the same reading. Any answers why she wishes she wasn't in a body? Now, she would complain about all these aches and pains in her body, and she could barely endure it. And so, I asked the question, and the answer was: this said entity contractually is very far from her home, some 30,000 to 40,000 light years. She is an outpost messenger, so to speak. It is as if a person is living in an extremely foreign country with virtually no one to communicate. It is a spiritual homesickness rather than a moral or ethical weakness on the part of this entity. There have been many lifetimes of service, and this culmination is a highly respected yet sacrificial homage taken by this entity. Have patience here. When she feels as if she is really giving and being received, her gratitude for being physicalized will increase. Are you feeling more grateful to be physicalized?
Well, ever since the show started, my legs stopped hurting.
There we go. As for now, the density of earth changes weighs upon her interior metabolics very heavily and throws her endocrine system off balance. And then, so this was our first time this happened. So for the next 6 months, I would be dragging her around to these different street fairs, trying to earn enough money to make her happy, which was impossible. In the middle of it all, she would be saying, "Those guys want to talk to you again." By the way, I have a book about this, which I'm just about to put online, my little draft copy. It's called Conversations with My Girlfriend. It tells all about the episodes of how crazy our life was at that time. Actually, the book ends with her leaving me. In fact, you know, she's in Massachusetts. I'm in Sedona, so we're not together right now in the physical. So during the period that we were having all these conversations, we were having them. They predicted a newspaper headline in advance, and they actually saved my sister's life. And I kept telling her this was important, and she kept telling me she was making it up. So I said, "Well, how did you do that?" "That's good if you're making it up." But she didn't want to believe it and eventually ran away from it. And I'm not going to tell the whole story. If you want to hear the story, it's on my website, Conversations with My Girlfriend. But I thought that since she and I are on the line tonight with and Don. You know, everybody wants to know, what can we do? How can we do it? What's the process of dealing with this shift that's going on the planet? And I thought it would be a good night to try to explain at least how I've learned. You know, my experiences, of course, I've written the book. I've had a lot of guidance. First, I wrote the book about David Wilcock, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. Then I had two girlfriends in a row that have another group soul talking to me that I'm asking all these questions to for the past 3 years. And then I have the messages coming in my dreams. And so, you know, if I have the right information, I have this PhD in how this all works about all kinds of things that you really can't figure out as a human. There's no way to figure it out. Now, I always tell people, I don't know if I'm right. I don't know if any of this is right, because I can't validate a lot of it. But some of it intuitively feels right, and a huge amount can be validated. And the sources constantly amaze me with their lovingness and care for the human condition. And the readings, you can read the readings on Conversations with My Girlfriend and draw your own conclusions. But basically, people are, especially the people checking into blogging, are all worried about Earth changes and this, that, and the other thing. And what they keep saying, what they say over and over again, is that we are the Earth changes. You, who are the listeners, are the Earth changes. I.e., how much can you stay tuned in to this frequency? And I wanted to, like, talk about some of the ways that I've learned that helped me stay tuned in that maybe might help you. Hey, to talk about, Don?
I think it would be actually quite excellent.
Yeah. So, first of all...
Okay, that's enough.
your mother's going to yell at me tonight. I'm hogging your show. Is your mother listening?
You know, she probably is. So
Hildy?
You're going to have to be careful.
Hildy would like to say hello. We want you to know that Girlfriend X had some health recommendations for you through Doug. So do what he says, okay? And now, back to the agenda of the show.
Thank you, Wynn.
This is like... Okay.
The other side also knew that she was of German extraction.
Ah! So, you mean, they knew that she was from Austria, Germany?
Yeah, and it's interesting because I've spent a lot of time there. I lived in Switzerland for many years, and I spent
beautiful.
A lot of time in Vienna.
And
in fact, I just 2 days ago reconnected with my German teacher who I lived with in Switzerland 20 years ago, and I had lost contact with her about 10 years ago.
Mrs. Frauchild.
Ursula Zwingli.
Ah.
And she's a direct descendant of Zwingli, the Protestant reformer. You know, you had Martin Luther.
Right, right.
Calvin, and then you had Zwingli in Switzerland. She's a direct lineage from the 1500s. And so it's very kind of interesting, synchronistic. It's interesting.
Yeah, that is.
Okay, now where were we? Here I am telling everybody how to stop Earth changes and connect with the Galactic Center, and you guys are talking about music teachers.
But you know what? It's important because his mother is from an area very close to some of the highest mountains on the Earth,
mm-hmm.
the Alps. And what we're doing right now is we are grounding energy.
Mm-hmm.
And so mountains, the Himalayas, the Alps, and I used to live on top of the mountain in the Bay Area, the Santa Cruz Mountains.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just as the oceans have to do with mm-hmm. the emotions,
mm-hmm.
the mountains have to do with stabilizing frequency.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about ascending frequency.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, one of the points of information that came through this evening from the other side was that if we can hold a frequency of 3.7 or higher, we will not experience the physicalization of traumatic earth changes the way that people below that threshold will. So it's up to our own consciousness as to what we will experience.
That I totally and absolutely believe.
So I want to create the visualization here so that the people listening can tap into that frequency. That's
mm-hmm.
my goal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm going to do it, but that's my goal for this show. So, first of all, we want to visualize something. Visualize that our solar system is moving through this energy that the spiritual people have had a name for, all kinds of names. They call it etheric energy. Wilhelm Reich called it orgone energy, Shakti energy, unified field. Russians call it toroid wave radiation. That's what it was referred to in my book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. There's this energy that our planet is moving through. And this energy has peaks in it where it gets very strong. And as our planet moves through those peaks, it changes things down here. The peaks come every 75,000 years. The reason the Mayan calendar ends in 2012 is because the Mayans were connected with interdimensional sources where they could get this information. And they ended their calendar right on the exact point of the peak. Now, as far as I know, nothing is going to happen special on that exact date. It's already happening now. It's going to continue to happen through that date and continue to happen, you know, maybe 10 years forward from that date, at least as far as we can tell. Now, what's it mean to be going through a peak of energy? It's causing a vibration that energy is the same energy that a human feels when they meditate, when they lift their vibration, when their chakras are open. It's the same energy. The same energy, I believe I could say it's the same energy that acupuncturists work with. It flows in our body. It's not normally recognized by science, but everybody knows what it is. When you walk into a room, you feel good vibes. It's that energy. So right now, where you are, is that energy. You are in that peak of energy that's flowing around our planet. And what's being asked is for you to be a conduit for that energy, i.e., to let it flow through you and not block it. What does it mean to let it go through you? It means opening yourself up. Now, everyone is different in their ability to do this. So what we're going to do on this show is just try to create the visualization that you can tap into to allow you to have that experience and a reference point for what that means to open yourself up and let this energy flow through you. Because when it happens, you know it happened. You can feel it. There's something, there's tingling, there's goosebumps, there's stuff that happens in your body. But as you get used to it happening, you don't feel that. The first times it happens, you feel all kinds of, you know, you're doing a quantum leap from where you normally are to something new. And then after a while, you hold that, and it's just part of your normal waking consciousness. Well, the first thing that happens when you decide you want to open up to this energy is every area that's in your body that is blocked suddenly starts to release. So oftentimes, you'll get an experience of that energy, and then you're going to reintegrate it because your body's going to be throwing up all its blocked patterns. We all have blockages in different areas. That's a very unique thing. Some people have, you know, their chest blocked. Some people have their sexual area blocked. Sometimes a lot of New Age people open up their higher areas and ignore their lower areas. And what happens is, although you feel this energy and you have all this experience, it doesn't flow all the way through your body into the earth. Now, part of healing the planet, part of keeping earth changes out of your area has to do with letting it flow into the earth. Now, there's two ways to release your body to allow this energy to flow. And I call it, and this is something, this is my own personal way of looking at this after studying life all these years. It's evolution from the bottom up and evolution from the top down. And from the bottom up has to do with saying, I've got all these blockages and I've got to release them. And so you then go get therapy, you get all these different techniques for releasing blockages. Some people take you back to past lifetimes. And theoretically, at the end of all of this, you've opened up your energies and you're flowing in this cosmic bath, so to speak. Now, the other way is from the top down. The top down doesn't require going through all this stuff, although you'll go through it a little bit. It's more like saying, how do I connect the higher energies and work from through me? It's kind of, it's what Jesus referred to as grace and service. It's like we have all these beings, and I've learned this from all these conversations that I've had with girlfriend X and girlfriend Y, if she's listening. She's a very, we have girlfriend X on the show, but girlfriend Y has been played a very important part in this whole evolution process that I've gone through. So I want to give her some acknowledgement. We wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for her. So now I forgot what I was saying. It's like through all the questions and answers and then validating it and putting it against my own experience and my growth, I've had this phenomenal experience of how you can open up to these interdimensional sources and they can actually start working with you in a dream state. And they can, actually, you do it. I say they do it. They don't do it. You do it. But you get help if you want it. You get assistance. And you get assistance first from your own, as Carla Ruckert said, your own immediate guides. And, you know, most of us have this veil. We don't even believe that exists. But I'm telling you, it's real. And the first thing is to start paying attention to your dreams. Because although we have this veil in our waking consciousness about what's actually happening on these other dimensions, in your sleep state, you move into the other dimensions, and you can make a direct connection with your own source of wisdom, which is higher than your regular source. And, you know, myself, when I first did this, you know, about 3 years ago, put a pad by my bed, and suddenly I'm getting message after message after, I'm waking up with these sentence fragments that I thought were myself, but they couldn't have been. They started predicting things in my future, and I became really clear that...
Do you mind if I ask Miss a few questions?
Am I getting boring here? I'm ranting and raving too long?
I don't know.
Maybe I am. Okay, go ahead. Ask this ex a couple questions.
Well, Miss X, you were saying that mountains and various areas have various energy, I guess, signatures to them, is what you're meaning. And I kind of wanted a little more explanation on that, because I've heard that quite a bit, and I understand it, I believe, but I'd like to hear more about that as far as when it comes to bodies of water, oceans, mountains, forests. And what kind of energy they provide and the significance.
Well, from the information that I've intuitively gathered and read about and also what's coming from various sources on the other side, especially in the last year or so, from what I understand, the Earth, just like a human body, has If you've ever looked at an acupuncture chart, it has hundreds of points. And one point, you know, on the foot might control the kidney or the liver. Or a point on the hand might control the pineal gland.
Right.
So there's all of these electromagnetic ley lines, you know, in the human body as well as in the earth. So that you can think of the earth herself as a body. And her lakes and rivers and streams and mountains have certain purposes, certain functions. Just as our hands perform a certain function, our feet, our kidneys, our intestines, our ears. And I couldn't tell you per se what, for example, Lake Michigan's function is. Although I've heard again and again and again that fourth dimensionally, the Mount Shasta region is the root chakra for the New Jerusalem or Terra or the fourth dimensional Earth. I've heard that again and again and again.
Right.
I've also heard that places in the Yucatan, Machu Picchu, Cozumel, and Chichen Itza are very important points. And places in the Andes, the Alps, of course, and then you have the Himalayas and the Hawaiian Islands, you know, where the newest land on the planet is being formed.
Right.
So, I mean, in any kind of a even quasi-scientific way, I couldn't really tell you what the meanings of the places are, but people who are sensitive can certainly go to a place, you know, go to the Oregon coast and hang out on the water.
Yeah.
It has a very, very specific feeling to it. Go to Big Sur. Go drive down, you know, the California highway, the coast near Monterey, where Wynn and I met. It has a very, very powerful, distinct energy, some of the most powerful on the planet, I think.
Well, they were saying the some of these areas, like you're speaking of, can help, I guess, help you open up your chakras and different chakras depending on different places. Like you were saying, Mount Shasta, from what I understand, it's the root chakra again, but it also deals in communication.
Mm-hmm.
And Wynn's area, if you were to take Sedona area, I hear that's a melting pot of all the different chakras where all the different energies meld in. So if somebody goes to Sedona, they're really going to get a feeling, a lesser degree, but a feeling of all the different energies from around the world in one spot.
I think that's true. What I've heard of Sedona is that it's a vortex point, both a female and male vortexes, and it acts as an amplification point, one of the most powerful on the planet. So whatever issues a person is going through will surface at
right.
that time. So if you want to go changes extremely fast,
go
hang out in Sedona. So if you're fairly clear, it's a good place for you. If you've got a lot of issues to work through, it's a place to go spend some time, but then you need to retreat because too much comes up too fast. It's too hard to process.
Well, when it comes to, here's a question. Actually, it was one that I've been meaning to ask somebody, anybody. But I think you'd probably be able to answer this. You know, I've heard, when I was younger, I forget where I got this, but I don't really know what to think of it, but I tend to believe it, and that is animals. And I don't know how familiar you are or what sort of connection you may have with the Devic kingdoms and the animal kingdom and so on, but if you're a person that cannot kill an animal, let's say you can't hunt, you don't eat meat, you respect, I mean, all animals. You won't even kill a little spider or a little fly or a bug. If you got a little ant in your house, you're actually going to pick him up and move him outside. I mean, to such a daunting degree of respect for life that when you go out in nature, animals come to you. You can, they will actually communicate with you more. There will be no animal that will have any fear of you whatsoever. Now, that's what I hear. In other words, somebody who absolutely doesn't destroy any animal life at all can be a person that can walk up to the most ferocious beast in the wilderness, and that animal is not going to be anything but docile towards this individual.
Well, if you believe the stories about St. Francis, you know, who supposedly had perfected love in his heart and supposedly was a vegetarian,
mm-hmm.
The animals loved him so much that they followed him around all the time, and the birds were always landing on his shoulders and squawking in his ears, and he had to say, please, silence, sometimes. I think it's very true. I had an experience about 5 or 6 years ago, I guess. I did some work for the Dominican Sisters in a contemporary monastery. The Dominican Sisters, a cloistered order,
right
in Menlo Park. And I was driving, and I was about to turn into the driveway, and I saw this tiny little squirrel in the middle of the road. And I thought he was injured, and I pulled off, and it was a baby. And I'm not sure what. It was a very strange experience. I went over to him. He just looked at me. I looked at him. He didn't look like he was hurt. I picked him up. I cradled him. I walked across the street. I put him in the monastery garden with St. Francis, the statue, and ran off. So it was a squirrel in the middle of the street. And, you know, normally they don't let you get anywhere near them.
Yeah.
Unless you have some food or something.
Yeah. Yeah, and, that's amazing.
Yeah. John, I wanted to add that having a pet is one of the best ways of helping your own energies get balanced. Because a dog, for example, will respond to your heart chakra. And the heart chakra is one of the hardest to stay keep open in today's world. That's why people love dogs so much.
That's a good point.
It's something that somebody is feeling alienated and alone. Getting a pet will help them have this cosmic contact better. Do you want to comment on that, X?
Oh, I mean, I am a kitty cat fanatic. We rescued 4 baby kittens that were abandoned on the side of the mountain road we lived on, and I insisted on keeping all 4 of them. And my husband thought I was nuts, but within the week, he'd fallen in love with them, too.
Your former husband?
Yes, my former husband.
Thank you.
And at that time, he was. And they became our children, especially my children. And they're still in California because I can't have them here. The people that I rent this house from are very allergic to animals. And so I volunteer at the shelter here, and I work with little feral kittens. And I'm just kind of crazy about cats, but also dogs. My mother she now takes care of a little Shih Tzu, and Wynn had a dog, Obi, who's now being taken care of by girlfriend Y's friend in Sedona.
Mm-hmm.
He's a very sweet little terrier, and used to be extremely attached to Wynn, and now is extremely attached to this other person.
Actually, I was recommended by the Elohim to give Obi to him because he needed him worse than I did.
And it's helped this person tremendously.
Is that like Obi as an Obi-Wan?
That's right.
Yep.
Actually, his name has changed. I call him Obi. No, he's called Sir Doggo.
Sir Doggo.
Sir Doggo.
How do you feel lately? I mean, Miss X, because I tell you, lately the energies, you know, I'm feeling them more and more and more, and they're getting, they're seeming to be more balanced, even though it seems to be a little more chaotic out in the world, politics and so on, and weather-wise it's starting to clamor again. But I don't know, I guess the energies are starting to become more and more pronounced. It just feels like that, and when we bring those energies within us, it just seems to be a really wonderful balancing system. I don't know. I mean, maybe you could help me put some sort of a...
Well, I think it very much depends on the individual and where they are in their process. For some people, this is a very excruciating time. For those who have been on the path and are very committed and have really been working on their stuff, I think that it's kind of like being in a dark tunnel and finally seeing some light.
Yeah.
I noticed that after the 11/11 change in November, and now we're on the eve of the 12/12. In 2 hours here on the East Coast, it's going to be December 11th. These are kind of cosmic synchronicities that have to do with sacred geometry. And I really do think it has to do with some kind of acceleration of infusion of energy into the latent strands of our DNA, which is also connected with the cycles of our sun, which is supposedly also going through huge changes and
huge,
in ways that scientists at NASA can't explain. And also, if people are interested in this, if they are to go to David
Ascension2000.com
website,
yeah.
Ascension2000, or maybe his new one, he explains a lot about some of the geocosmic changes going on in our local solar system that don't make mainstream news, and the polar ice melting on Mars and gravitational fields increasing 300% on Pluto. All this has happened in the last 5 to 7 years.
Yeah, it's amazing, and it's still being kept so quiet.
You don't, unless a person has a specific interest in science. People don't know about it.
People don't know. Yeah, they're right in the dark, and these changes are so paramount.
And of course, there's no global warming going on. President Bush, thinks that's crazy. So.
Well, he also thinks that the Constitution is just a piece of paper.
we're not political on this show.
Well, that's right. We have a wonderful, I just wanted to announce this because I promised I would. We have a wonderful new show that's going to be airing today at 10 to 11 by a lady named Liz. Excuse me, and that's somebody ringing in. But we did this in reverse. Wynn called me, and we hooked into the show, so we're going to have to deal with the beeping here. Liz Miller is going to be doing a new show called Otherwhere, and she's from Australia, from down under. So she